We often hear the question, how do families with large families manage? Well, today's your lucky day as I continue my conversation with Jason and Bree Kemp. We get into some of the details of how they manage family life with five children spanning over 16 years. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. In this episode, we return to my conversation with Jason and Bree Kemp, homeschool parents in Southern California. We talk about how Bree plans for the school year, Jason's role in homeschooling, and how they prioritize time together as a family. Before we jump into the episode, I want to tell you about a way to simplify math in your homeschool. Our friends at CTC Math have found a way to remove the tears and tension from learning math. Through concise and practical video lessons, Pat Murray helps kids understand math concepts and get lots of time to practice what they learn from grade level math through algebra, geometry, and calculus. Check out their free trial at ctcmath.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get into the episode. Well, we've kind of hit on it in a couple different times, but the age gap and the, you know, a question that comes up a lot is how do families with large age gaps make it all work? I don't know exactly what it all work means, but maybe you can pull some things out as you've probably had conversations with other people who are asking that question. I think maybe they mean, you know, when a kid is learning in those early years and they're like needing American history and you're trying to teach the older ones world history, or, you know, you've got this 4-year-old baking in your kitchen, but you've also got the 20-year-old about to get married. How do you make it all work? What do you kind of guys say to that when you get that question?
I used to say, why is life like a circus? And then now I'm more of the perspective of, I get to live in a circus. It is a lot. It's definitely a lot. But what a joy. And it's looked different every single year. Like when Abby, my oldest, was a senior in high school, here she did her last year of history for American history. So she was teaching the two youngers and she would take them outside. Mm-hmm. We're doing Columbus. Great. Let's go on this log and let's pretend that that's our ship. And then when she graduated, then now I have the littles and we're doing American history with them. And then the two older, they're in the Renaissance. They just started the Renaissance. And so I think it was Susan Schaefer McCauley or maybe Charlotte Mason, but saying like how the mornings they're intense, but they're short and they're enjoyable, you know? And so to have these really short lessons and okay, time for this. Okay, time for this. Like, for example, we're all gathered at the breakfast table, but then I have the boys go out and do 20 minutes of intense exercise. And that's when I get to pour into Ellie, whether we're baking together or whether we're doing some sort of game together, reading books. So she gets some time being poured into. And then the boys come back. And then now she happens to love to use little kid scissors. So she's maybe cutting right next to me while I'm focused more on Matthias, where we're doing his short but meaningful studies with him. And the big kids, they're out doing their independent work. And then we'll regather and we'll do nature study with these kids. And then, so it's very much, it's kind of juggling, learning to juggle of like time for this child, time for this child, time for these two children, time for these three, that kind of thing. And so, and it's looked different though, each year, even sometimes even each semester of what works. And, you know, if we're being teachers, we have to be teachable and flexible to what does it look like for now? And I know Carol's often said how a focus on the bigs or the littles. And yet I often am like, oh, but I just want to be in part of both. And so so I am kind of it's definitely juggling, but in a joyful way.
Yeah. How do you kind of wrap your head around as you start a school year or even a semester? How do you kind of wrap your head around, okay, where are we at? What does my family need this year, this semester, and kind of get yourself organized? So then you can see, you know, okay, this is how we're going to divide and the sequence of things. How do you kind of get yourself organized with that?
Yeah, that helps. Jason will often take the kids like to his dad's house to swim for the day kind of thing. And I'll be able to be just have a quiet house with all the books I need. And so I will pull, like, here's all the history books and put them on a specific shelf that we're going to go through for this semester and then this semester and these kids and then these, you know, classics for this person to read. So I'll kind of reorganize the bookshelves according to what our school year is going to look like and plan through, you know, planning through. You had on the website a really great resource. I think it's a free resource about like reflecting on the year and asking you things through that. That helped even preparing for the following year to really gauge and see what's the Lord going to do. And I'll often pray before a school year. Is there a theme you want? Is there a specific word that or verse that you want us to hold on to? I mean, even the beginning of the year, it's a great time to do that as well. And like one thing he's spoken to me was live lightly, and it means so much, you know, both come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So living yoked with him to do this great work of raising eternal beings for the kingdom, and live lightly as in live lighthearted. You know, you can laugh about the spills. I wasn't always that way at all. I used to just be stressed and now to be able to laugh about things more easily and even smiling more, living light, smiling more, because they're little video recorders that are just watching us constantly. So to even be like, okay, I'm smiling or I'm singing while I do the dishes or whatever it might be, but for them to see the joy and mom's face, it makes such a difference. And so he's faithful to provide, you know, direction and guidance for the year. And so, but that one day set aside, it's amazing what can get done. And even to make a list of things that didn't get done, but to know, okay, I could just do that really quick in an evening or in an afternoon. That helps a lot to really set us up for success.
Yeah, Jason, how do you kind of see your role and what has it been like over the years to set the tone for the family and support Bree as she homeschools?
In the last few years since COVID, I've had the privilege of working remote. So I have my home office, which is outside the home, like 150 feet or so from the house. So it's outside, but it does allow me to like have a short commute to come back and fill up my water bottle and do like a quick check-in. So I'm kind of coming in and out of the house a few times a day. So I'm not leaving in the morning and coming back at night as I used to do. So it does kind of let me kind of check in a little bit or let kind of just peek over their shoulder sometimes, give them a quick hug, say hi, but just kind of like see what they're doing, see kind of interact with them just very briefly. But it gives me a little bit of a touch point. Where it's not so disconnected like it used to be. I don't have like a formal subject or something that I teach with them in that sort of way. But I do like to, one thing Bree and I have done in the last few years is to make sure that family dinners, a large majority of the week are in place and that we have that time together. And that our questions that we ask are intentional. They don't devolve into sort of random topics or goofiness or what have you. But we have intentional questions like, what was your high and low for today? Or what are you looking forward to later this week if it's Monday? Or what's been the most stressful thing for you or you're most worried about? Or we have some other conversation questions that obviously can be different levels of depth depending on the age. But it allows us to go a little bit deeper and things about homeschooling will be coming up. So I'll get more of an insight there too of like, I'm really stressed about writing my term paper or whatever it may be, or I'm having trouble with math or I want to learn how to read this year. So it depends on what the age of the child is and what they're going through. But I get a little bit more of an insight or a window into what's happening during the day. So it's not just dad's gone and then dad's back. And then there's like this big gap in between. That's been a privilege. I mean, I know that's not everyone's situation, but I really enjoy that, being able to have that.
And I think also, you know, for years I had gone to the seminars to hear teaching from Carol, and I caught the vision, you know, and I'm trying to implement it. And it was good, and Jason would support me. You know, here's what I learned today. And then years later, he listened to the seminar that we had downloaded from the store. And it really, like, oh, okay. Like, it went to another level at him having heard the vision and what and the why and how. And then when he went to a seminar, it was, again, another level. It just exponentially, like, oh, I feel all the more supported, all the more, like, if I'm kind of wavering at all, then I feel like Jason can kind of, like, pull me back to, this is the vision, this is where we're headed. Because even, I mean, all these years I've gone, if she's come twice a year, then I'm at both. It's not because I haven't heard it before, but because I need to hear it again. And each time, as she said, it's like a chiropractic alignment, as well as just, I need to hear that new, that old information that I've heard before, but I need to hear it now for where my kid is at in this stage of life. So.
And then it went to even another level for me, even after that initial understanding and hearing that seminar from Carol, was when JJ started to be more of a part of those seminars. And just seeing him teach, hearing a different perspective than Carol. And they're obviously both in alignment, but hearing it from a father to a father and a man to a man, and hearing how he disciples his kids, how he raises his kids, the kind of conversations he has with his kids. That was just even more of a value add for me, just in terms of, like, even more buying into the vision and really understanding and knowing how to support Bree, but then also speaking to me mm-hmm. as well in my role and how unique that is and how I can do a better job as trying to be more of an intentional father in that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So do you read to your children?
Definitely. It's one of our favorite things to do every night. Matthias and I, especially. There'll be times that all the boys, you know, we'll come around and we'll do like a read aloud on the couch or something, and that all of them will be playing or doing something. But really, it's become a thing with Matthias and I primarily, where every night, even if Bree and I are out late, you know, doing something and come home, he's going to stay up. And then even he's like half asleep, he's like, do we get to read? So like, it just like, it's always, I know it's clicking too, because he'll always ask to read one more page or one more chapter. There's always wanting more. It's never enough in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I have to cut it off at some point. Really, anytime I get to read with my kids, it's always mm-hmm. a fun time. And we try to find books that appeal to a large age range. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes we have more of the
right.
the mid range as opposed to the ends. But
yeah, my son is 9, and he's like always ready for reading with dad. Like, it's always a good time to read with dad.
Yep.
Yeah. And they like to read Brian books by Gary Paulson, or they've read Old Yeller, or, you know, my son has 2 younger sisters. So it's like they get to read the guy books that the little girls would be horrified by the stories of what happens, you know, to know that people are on the brink of death or that these pets have to die, you know. But he's like eating it all up, you know, in such a manly little guy. So. That's so sweet. Those are memories that I'm sure he'll always cherish.
JJ Side here with a book recommendation from the Crossway Vault, a classic, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family by Paul David Tripp. In fact, it's one of the 3 books that I tend to recommend on parenting, alongside of Child Proof by Julie Lowe and Shepherding Your Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, who's actually Paul Tripp's brother. So this is one of the 3 books that I encourage parents to pick up. And in many ways, Parenting by Paul Tripp is the foundation book. It anchors us as parents in the gospel. It reminds us that we can't change our kids' hearts, and we have to start with prayer We have to depend on God for everything we're called to do as parents. There's so much clarity and sanity in this book. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. You can pick up a copy of Parenting by Paul Tripp wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account.
I've heard that you guys have really cultivated a bit of a community with some of the other, especially your kids, with some of the other families through their experiences at Coldwater or through meeting people at seminars or different things. Could you kind of talk about that? Of, you know, I know people are like, how do we find other people who do this? Or how do we have friends for our kids? And maybe you could share some of your experience with that.
Yeah, with Coldwater, our kids that had gone, Jason took them the first time, dropped them off, met, you know,
Kevin,
forget his name. Kevin, thank you. And then here they are on this 10-day trip. Bye. You know, just, oh my goodness. Rare went into that. And then Jason picked them up, saw the ending, like ceremony kind of thing. And when he saw them, he almost didn't recognize them. It's truly transformational. Wow. Like the way it tests you in so many levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to be in literally survival mode with these fellow, these friends that you become friends fast. And just seeing them afterwards and hearing them, it was like a time warp of just growth, exponential growth in such a short amount of time. And so I highly recommend Coldwater. The gals that Abby met, it's like they live quite a trek away. I mean, thank God though, because it's in Minnesota. And so yay that there was other Californians that went. But she got so close to them, and the things that you built, Abby calls it her Narnia, Coldwater is for Narnia, and how powerful that the Lord met her both alone as well as with these fellow, these friends. And so, the friendship that they have now, even if, you know, it's phone calls, it's seeing each other once in a while, but there's such a depth of bond because of what they've gone through together and the ways they grew together. So they definitely have kept in touch. And
it was a sacrifice, but it was worth making. Like it's expensive with the flights and everything to go from California to Minnesota, and the logistics can get crazy of, okay, you're going to fly here, you're going to take this other flight, this connecting flight over here, and then you're going to get picked up by this, and then that's going to take you over here, and then you're going to check in. Like, it's a lot to kind of work through. But at the end of the day, like Bree said, there's just so much transformation that, you know, when I picked them up that first time, like it really was like I saw them from behind at first, and I just kind of like almost walked past them like they're just some, you know, kid that I hadn't met, you know, and I'm just like, whoa, there's my daughter. And she's changed. And so it is one of those before and after events, you know, one of those milestone type of events that they have in their life. And there's suffering involved, you know, it's not a comfortable trip. It's not a cruise or sitting on the beach. You know, there's hard, active physical work. You're not eating the best food. It's just, there's routines that are all messed up. You don't have any sense of time. Like the list goes on and on, but all of that is intentional for them to learn a greater depth of where they need God's help and where he can meet them. And really what they can do beyond what they thought they could do.
Yes.
They have greater capacity in them to lead, to guide, to survive, to, you know, like all these things, all these skills that they had to learn, meet new people. They didn't come into it initially knowing anyone, and they showed up, and all of a sudden I'm going to take a 10-day trip with, you know, seven other people that I've never met. It's kind of an yeah. odd experience, but like you grow fast and you come together and you form over that bond and you end up being really tight at the end.
And I'd say in terms of like just in a ordinary life, day-to-day kind of thing through the year of homeschooling, I think the biggest way that we've been able to develop community is just having that service mindset of like, hey, you're thinking about homeschooling, like come on over. I'm and hosting and hospitality and stuff. And just like having that mindset and as opposed to like thinking, okay, well, who's doing exactly like us? No, it's beautiful, especially in the method of Homeschool Made Simple, of how it uniquely fits each family. It's flexible enough, and yet these values and this vision that's cast it's specific, but it can look different according to every single mm-hmm. family. It's beautiful. So just really, you know, being very involved in our church and then just, hey, come on over. Let's learn from one another in how we homeschool and how to parent and stuff. And it's definitely helped, though, just to have that community and have fellow pilgrims doing this yeah. together.
I have one last question because we're running out of time. I feel like I could probably talk to you for a long time, but you mentioned the family dinner thing. So how have you kind of managed extracurricular activities so that you can really prioritize that time, especially as your kids have gotten older?
We've really limited it where it's like if we're considering an extracurricular activity, is it best for the family? You know, and so, yes, we've done those, but to really like it's non-negotiable to have a Sunday morning activity. That's mm-hmm. it's not possible. We're at church. And so the different things and how many family dinners would that cost us? If that person, that kid would to be involved in something. So we haven't done that much compared to, I guess, what I've seen a lot of people do and yet we have done some, and oftentimes we try to make it something that multiple kids or people in the family can do together. Like the boys had done jujitsu together. And so it's like, it can become a little bit more of a family thing when it's not just one kid doing one thing. And lately it's been that we are rock climbing together, an indoor gym, and, you know, it's beautiful to just encourage one another and you know, just mm-hmm. play together, sweat together. It's great and the encouragement that we give one another and laughing at, you know, our mistakes together. So, but it fits so well because here we are all driving together, whether we're listening to an audiobook or teaching or whether they have their books in hand, we're all together. And then we exercise and do this activity together. And so it's still fostering like connection together. So I think we've really, really protected that. And I think if we were to have seen, oh my goodness, this child is such a prodigy at this, or just an Olympian at that, then, you know, okay, then we'll pray and think about that. But thus far, it's like, we're just a normal yeah. family. So let's try this together. Let's do that together kind of thing, and really protected our time as a family.
Yeah. Rock climbing has been a great sport in the sense, like Bree was describing, where we have a community that we're going to. Every person, Bree, myself, all the kids are all at different levels and we're all growing in our own way, but we're also belaying each other. There's like an aspect of we're working together. And then our community is being formed there too. There's other climbers. We're learning from there. They're learning from us. And so it's a really unique thing. Almost like surfing or skiing or, you know, something where all of us can do it, but we can all be together, but all still be doing it at our own skill level and all be growing at our own skill level without having to go to the lowest common denominator or the elders being bored or something like that, or showing up just for one person. That's worked great for our family. It's not a prescription for everyone. And like Bree said, like it came with prayers, like what would work best for us and the way that you've wired us, the way you've designed us, what our mission is. But I think that's also what's brought us together in a lot of ways, is having that touch point every night. It is almost every single night that, you know, we're having dinner together. It doesn't mean that it's always just us. Sometimes we're inviting friends over. It looks, you know, a little bit different sometimes, but there is that consistency, like work in the morning. It's dinner, every night together as a family.
I love that you also said, you know, you're building community there with rock climbers. It's not like you can only have community, or that you need only to have community of like-minded homeschoolers who are living life the same way that you are. I think that's a misconception that we have when we talk about community, is just, where's your people who are carbon copies of you? And when you're trying to find community like that, then it's really hard to find. Impossible to find, really, because no one else is like you. And then if you're trying to impose, you know, like how you just said, this is what our family, where we've landed with our mission and our values and who our kids are. Nobody's a prodigy in the violin or anything like that. So I think just when it is more free of where we are, we're going to meet people and we're going to be connected and we're going to have community, in the sense that we're going to know people and, you know, have meaningful relationships there. And it can be at church, it can be with rock climbing, it can be the neighbors that you meet, it can be like-minded homeschool families. But when we pin it down to like, these are the only, I don't have community if I only have these friends, then it's going to be, for me, I've found that it's going to be really hard for me to find that if that's what I'm looking for.
And that's something that God's really showed me, especially over the last few years, is just the value of having that community. And doesn't need to be one community or one group of people. But like you said, there's our rock climbing community, there's our church community, we've got different friends, some that we meet with on a weekly basis and do life group together. So we've got that built in at different levels of depth, different levels of, you know, activity or non-activity, or studying the word together and praying together, or just hanging out and talking about how to raise kids, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, because those are the things that are going to make the difference, that they'll look back when my kids are grown and they have kids of their own. What are they going to remember about their homeschooling experience? It's going to be things like, oh, those family dinners and reading cuddled up together, and those adventures that you hikes, and, you know, it's going to be those points of connection. Remember rock climbing together, and, you know, these words that'll come to mind, as opposed to, oh, I'm so glad I got better at such and such when I was alone away from it probably wouldn't, maybe, but just kind of looking at what legacy are we living now that we want our kids to speak into when they are grown and have their own kids. What do we want them to remember?
Yes. And that togetherness is not for indefinite. They're moving out from your house, and you won't always get to have dinner with them every night, and you won't always get to read to them every night. So to make the most of the opportunity we have now. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on the podcast. And it's been such a delight to talk to you, and I just so appreciate it. Jason, would you be willing to pray for the people listening for us?
Father, we surrender everyone and everything to you, our thoughts, our behavior, our emotions, our relationships, our will, everything about us and in our world that we may try to control, we give it over back to you. We desire, Jesus, to please you only as our audience of one. We pray, Father, that our roots would grow deeper in the knowledge of wisdom of you and your Son, that you would transform us, Holy Spirit, to be more of your apprentice, your disciple, to become more like you. So change us, Lord, from the inside out. We give our children over to you as the blessings that they are, and we thank you for the lessons that you teach us through them. We thank you for who you are and who you created us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.